May it please the court, my name is Sergei Shevchenko. I'm a counsel for the petitioner Natalia Golban, and I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Manage your own time.
Thank you, Your Honor. In this particular case, we'd like to ask this court to grant the petition and set aside the previously adverse credibility finding determination by the Board of Immigration Appeals as well as Immigration Court. We also would like to call attention that recently published case by this court, Buena Vita, which is reference number 24-5472, Ninth Circuit, which was decided on August 28, 2026, was not presented to this court because it was issued after Rule 28J letters was filed by both parties. Was just recently. But we believe this is very pertinent to this particular discussion in that way that it discusses how the, this court perceive finding of a credibility on immigration court level. In this particular situation, we'd like to call court attention that a few errors that was committed by both immigration court and the Board of Immigration Appeals. First, it would be a claimed contradiction. So that would be a testimony of the petitioner regarding medical visit and a letter from a mother. In fact, there was two visits in November and March, and I think there might be confusion, but nevertheless, the letter itself omitted the fact that presence of the mother, but it does not contradict the testimony itself. So I think that the way it was discussed in immigration court, by immigration court and thereafter by Board of Immigration Appeals and the opposing counsel, I think this is misinterpretation of what's really happened. Next would be, a second error would be discussion about or belief, or perception how immigration judge believe that human traffickers must act. And all the discussion discuss what they're supposed to do, This refers to the passport. It refers to the money hidden. Overall, if careful review of the transcript will show that there was no any attempt to avoid direct question by the judge, and taken in sum, the petitioner provided truthful, we believe, incredible testimony.
So counsel, if your client is credible, she has told, a harrowing story and would likely be entitled to asylum. She certainly would have a strong claim. The fundamental problem is that the IJ said that your client was not credible and particularly was not credible in her demeanor, that she appeared to be reciting matters from her statement. And that by observing her, he did not find her credible. Now, how do we possibly review that on this record?
I believe in both Buena and also the previous matter cited Alam, the court specifically point out that there will be there will be a specific approach and to findings of immigration judge regarding demeanor if there would be specific facts cited by that immigration judge.
The judge was pretty specific in explaining why he thought that her demeanor suggested that she was not fully truthful. It doesn't mean that everything that she said was false, but that if once we go down the line of some things are exaggerated or some things have been misstated, then we have no idea what the truth is. So you've got a huge hill to climb here once the IJ cites the demeanor of the petitioner.
I do believe that the judge just enumerated the facts, which suggested in different published cases, but there was no any specifics. There was no details as there was, like in some other published cases, there was a delay for 10 seconds. There was that her face was looked differently. As far as I remember, there was nothing in the record that suggests specifics. It just was a listing of different factors as, you know, cited in the published cases. But I don't recollect any specifics that would be equal amount to support for such a findings.
Counsel, Judge Gould with a question for you. What's your best case that would say that something more has to be done than on credibility, as opposed to what the IJ did here?
I would cite the latest matter of Mbuena Vita. I believe this is the latest case, and this is provide guidelines. You know, it specifically says that in this case there was a four contradiction. There were four inconsistencies were cited, and they were discussed by the court. And I do believe this case is would be best handled on a remand by allowing judge, you know, ask, you know, further questions and develop the record.
Does that case? I have not looked at that case. The one that was in the 28J letter? Does it discuss demeanor?
Which one? I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Does the case that you've just cited us, the new one, the Buena Vita, does it address demeanor evidence?
Just a second.
And the IJ was specific. He says she begins with a recitation of a memorized 11-page statement rather than a recollection of actual events. Instead of responding to questions directly, she recites to the paragraph in her statement. She was evasive when asked to describe certain things, such as what ship she was on or how she was able to escape the ship. And this led him to believe that this was not believable.
But once again, apart from general statement, the record itself, the transcript, does not show that she tried to avoid. If she doesn't remember the name of the ship.
A transcript's not going to show evasion. And even a transcript won't necessarily show to us that she's reciting from or appears to be reciting from, a prepared statement. We can compare words on the page, but we can't hear voice inflections. We can't see body language. All of that is evaluated by the IJ. We have no way of reviewing that on this record.
That's correct, Your Honor. But what would be helpful, as suggested in other cases, that immigration attorney would, on the record, would state that I observed that petitioner trying to hide her eyes, or she trying to pause for, there's some unnatural pause. That would help for us to understand what's
right.
going
but
on.
There'll be no way for a court to review that, even if the IJ
That's
had
true.
Done that here.
That's right. That's why remand would be useful in this particular matter. Especially during this time, there was another collateral relief became available for this person. Her petition as a battered spouse under Violence Against Women Act was approved back 2022, and her motion to reopen case before the Board of Immigration Appeal is pending. For the last 2 years, we filed a motion to expedite, motion to act, been just ignored. But remaining this case would allow her not only to test again her asylum case, but as well as proceed for adjustment of status based on already approved petition by the another federal agency.
You're down to about a minute. Do you want to reserve for rebuttal?
Yes, please.
Good morning, Your Honors. Linda Doe for the respondent, United States Attorney General. Here, inconsistencies, implausibilities, and petitioner's evasive and non-responsive demeanor constitute substantial evidence in support of the agency's adverse credibility determination, as well as its denial of asylum and withholding of removal. As the agency noted, petitioner's claim was not plausible to the where she claimed that prior to being taken by surprise by human traffickers and trafficked aboard a ship off the Crimean Peninsula, petitioner had hidden cash and her passport at the human traffickers' home. Having successfully escaped, she was able to find two elderly, an elderly couple, to help her locate the trafficker's home and return her to the home so that she could retrieve her belongings. Petitioner indicated that she did not know which city or town the trafficker's home was in, just simply recalling the street name. Petitioner further alleged that this elderly couple was more than willing to aid her in unlawfully enter the criminal's home. And petitioner's explanation that they had no qualms doing so.
Counsel, how do we deal with implausible stories? There are plenty of implausible stories. My goodness, the Old Testament is rife with them, and yet people believe them. There are strange things that happen to people, and we have people who will say, if I hadn't experienced it, I wouldn't have believed it myself. So the fact that we have a story that appears to be implausible, might raise some suspicions on our part. But how do we just say no? It didn't happen. If it did,
well, Your Honors, pursuant to the INA, it looks at the totality of the circumstance, and here this is just simply one of many incongruities set forth in petitioner's claim. As the agency noted, this is not the only implausibility. Petitioner further claimed that she didn't apply for asylum upon her arrival in 2010, and instead relocated to Las Vegas and got married, and claimed that she did not file for asylum until close to the one-year deadline because she simply did not know about asylum. And the claim is not plausible.
What's odd about that?
Well, petitioner indicated that she fled her country and came to the United States in 2010 to flee, extraordinary past mistreatment. And yet she did not seek to hire an attorney right away. And she indicated that she knew how to do so in Moldova as well as in the United States. She is further educated with an associate's degree in accounting. Petitioner was previously in the United States in the summer of 2008, knew how to apply for J-1 visas to the United States in 2008, 2009, and 2010, and she claimed to have affiliations with international organizations that specialized with victims of human trafficking. So petitioner's claim that she simply did not know about asylum does not ring true. And in addition to this implausibility, there were, as the agency
noted,
but
there's no contrary evidence that anybody told her about asylum, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we hear cases all the time where people say, I just didn't know what my relief was, even though they're some pretty educated.
Well, having exposure to, as petitioner claims, to international organizations that deal with victims of human trafficking, we believe that petitioner would have some knowledge of asylum. And again, petitioner was in the United States, knew how to, seek petitions, knew how to hire an attorney, and yet simply did not think to do so after arriving in the United States.
Right, but she was within the one-year period, correct?
Yes, I believe the day.
Yeah.
It's, again, simply one additional factor. Again, as the agency noted, there were also inconsistencies. Petitioner claimed that her mother had taken her to the hospital or to the doctors in 2009 after having been beaten and detained by police officers. This is in direct contravention to the letter submitted by her mother, claiming that her mother was unaware of the incident until she had seen her daughter in bandages and her daughter had informed her that she had come from the hospital having been beaten by police. When questioned about the inconsistency, petitioner did not provide any explanation for such, again, casting more doubt into her veracity. Notwithstanding this inconsistency, the IJ further noted that petitioner's testimony that she voluntarily returned to Moldova in 2008 to finish her education and find a job undermined her claim and her declaration, outlining years of abuse by her classmates, including physical beatings, beatings that went unanswered or unaddressed by school administration. And petitioner further admitted to having lied to immigration officials during her J-1 interview. Petitioner indicated that she did not disclose her purported arrest record in Moldova. And notwithstanding these impossibilities and inconsistencies, petitioner's demeanor was further evasive and non-responsive when questioned as to details outside her declaration. As reflected in the record, petitioner was questioned as to whether the ship she had been purportedly held captive on was a cruise ship, an answer to which she could not either confirm or deny. Petitioner was further questioned whether she could estimate the size of the ship. And again, petitioner was evasive in her response, simply averring that she had not seen the entirety of the ship, even when pointed out that she had claimed to have escaped from the ship and had seen various cabins. Petitioner further could not detail how she got off the ship when questioned by the immigration judge, and again reverted back to the outline set forth in her declaration. When questioned, you know, how she was taken off the boat, she simply said, oh, she was on the dock, which is on the ship, which is a very unresponsive response to the inquiry, lending support to the IJ's determination that this was not based on her memory of her own experiences, but as opposed to a memorization of the outline set forth in her declaration. Here, specific cogent reasons support the agency's adverse credibility determination. Accordingly, petitioner has not shown that a conclusion contrary to the agency's denial is compelled. Are there any further questions, Your Honor?
Well, I guess one, you know, you make a lot of, well, she stuck to her declaration, but if she had deviated from the declaration, I'm sure the IJ would have found an inconsistency because there was a difference between her testimony and the declaration. So under your theory, she loses either way, right?
Well, here is actually in more, correct, Your Honors. If she had deviated, it
would
have.
Yeah, if she deviated from it, the IJ would say, well, that's an inconsistency, and therefore making an adverse credibility determination. And this one is a little curious because it says, I don't believe her because she stuck to her statement.
It's also going to the fact that there was a lack of detail outside of what was specifically set forth in her declaration. Had petitioner actually experienced these, you know, experiences as she had claimed, it would not would be a detail that she could attest to. Either it was a cruise ship or it wasn't. You know, is it a large ship or is it a small? And here, petitioner could not say, you know, either way. She couldn't confirm or deny. Additionally, petitioner provided no indication was there how she got off the boat. Did she have to take an elevator? Did she walk? Was there a plank? Was there a pier? Petitioner could not answer these, you know, questions. Had there been her experiences and her memories, we'd think that had she indeed escaped the ship as she claimed, she could provide a bit more detail besides that specifically outlined. And this court has considered unresponsive answers to questions as well as a lack of detail in upholding a demeanor determination. I think
I understand that on demeanor. I guess my question is sort of the same as Judge Bivey's, is how do we assess implausibility on appellate review? It's not a finding of fact. It's a judgment about whether something is possible or not. Why aren't we in the same position to make that determination as the IJ?
Well, would argue that looking at the entire facts of the case.
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying I always find the findings of implausibility odd from an appellate perspective because they're not making findings of fact. They're just saying this couldn't possibly happen. And then, you know, if we see another case where it actually did happen, we say, yeah, it could happen. How are we supposed to judge that?
Well, Your Honors, again, here petitioner claimed that the minute her mother saw her, she, you know, took her immediately to the hospital. And yet this elderly couple who, you know, assuming that they did believe her to be a human trafficking victim, didn't take her to the, you know, law enforcement officers in the Crimea. They didn't take her to a hospital. They took her back to the human trafficker's home and helped her break into their home. Again, she, you know, the couple has no prior knowledge of her. They don't know whose home this is. And yet here she says they willingly aided her in breaking and entering a stranger's home, someone that she's never encountered before, you know, a couple that she's never encountered before. And again, they've miraculously found this home that is 15 to 16 hours away from her own home in Moldova in a town that she has no inkling of. She couldn't identify the city or town which this street is located in. And yet this elderly couple that she happened to come across was able to discover the exact location and were more than willing to return her to a criminal's home. Again, that strains credulity.
No, I understand your argument on the on this case. I was just asking a question on it. In general matter, on appellate review of implausibility findings.
Argue when it strains credulity, it supports implausibility, Your Honor, and it is a factor for consideration under 1158B1B3.
Okay, your time has expired. Any further questions?
No. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal as you requested.
Your Honor, I would like to bring a very important facts which we have not heard today. So at the time that incident happened, she was 22 years old in a foreign country known for corruption. We're talking about Ukraine. She was raped. She was pushed. And that's on the record. She was hit and lost consciousness. We have a document starting from, you know, page 52 and further on with numerous medical certificates confirming that she had anxiety. She got some psychological issue. It never was discussed neither by opposing counsel nor immigration court or Board of Immigration Appeals. And that needs to be taken into consideration because it sounds like we're trying to judge a person, you know, nowadays it's a single mom with 3 children, you know, to trying to keep to some higher standard. We need to understand she was tortured. She was under a lot of stress. You know, sometimes people do a lot of things under stress that, you know, they wouldn't do in real life. Judging from you know, this document, any perceived inconsistency or contradiction that can be resolved upon remand. Also, I want to call attention that birth certificate, which identify her as Roma, which is important document, including pages 506, 507, also had apostille. United States as well as Moldova, we are part of the Hague Convention. We are supposed to take this document as a real document. The judge nevertheless said, well, because this document was issued on a later occasion. But wait a second, it specifically says it's certified copy. Certified copy obviously can be issued at any time. It does not diminish the legal significance of this document. But if, you know, careful review of the record shows that judges decided that since credibility is an issue, all these documents, they're not going to be considered. We believe this is a legal error. And remand would be appropriate approach in this case.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you both for your arguments today. The case just heard will be submitted for decision.